This is a replay of the Raleigh James Show on Tuesday night, April 2nd on WGN Radio. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday to Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James, here for the next 3 hours. I hope you'll join me. I was just taking a look at News of the Weird, and had to start with that. While I was listening to the news, I was looking up Walter Burian to see if he's still with us. Now, Walter Burian was a guy I had on the radio with me many years ago, and he's the guy who first started the news about the CAFR, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report. And it was Walter's belief that the government has about, $600 billion of your tax money that they're not using. And those are old figures, by the way. And he was convinced that there were two different accounting systems, and one of them told the truth. That was the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, and the other one was the one you saw. All right, so not making this political, and you can decide if Walter was right or not, but a story broke today, and I couldn't help but think of him. All right, out of Columbia, South Carolina. Apparently, South Carolina has collected $1.8 billion in a bank account, and accountants are trying to figure out where it came from and where it was supposed to go. Now, at first I thought, wait a minute, like this is somebody's private account. No, it's the state and their bank account, but no one seems to know how the money got there. $1.8 billion, or what it was meant to do. And so the bottom line is that you've got lawmakers in South Carolina who are now looking into it. One of them said, you know, it's like going into your bank and the bank president tells you, we have a lot of money in our vault, but we just don't know who it belongs to. Well, in this case, they know who it belongs to in terms of it is the state of South Carolina. They don't know what it is for, why there's more money in it, and apparently last year the Comptroller General resigned after his agency started double-posting money in higher education account, leading to a $3.5 billion error on paper. And this goes back to 2010 when the state was shifting computer systems, and all I could do when I read this was say, oh man, Walter Burian, he's being vindicated now after all this time. And so where did the money come from? Where did it go to? And more to the point, how much money is there out there that we don't know about? And so investigative accountants are trying to untangle the mess. And what they've discovered so far is, I love this, the state's books are out of whack. That's a technical term, I guess. Money was shifted from somewhere else into another account that helped balance it out. And bottom line is that this is not necessarily political, you know, that the Republicans did it or the Democrats did it or, you know, Murdaugh did it. No, none of that. But apparently, The Senate approved putting a constitutional amendment before voters to make the Comptroller General an appointed position. And that now goes to the House because they're saying this guy shouldn't be elected. He should be appointed. He shouldn't have political leanings. Well, of course, if he's appointed, he does. But regardless, whatever's causing the errors has not been rectified. And if there are records showing where the $1.8 billion came from, apparently they've not been shared with anybody who has shared it with the public. And I love the governor who says, this does not inspire confidence. I guess. And apparently it's a mystery account. It made, by the way, $200 million in interest for the state, which, of course, leads to the question, why didn't the General Assembly know about this money? And if nothing else, just the interest, why was that net not set aside for state agencies serving the public? And so you've got, again, all these people standing up and making it political. But the reality to me is it's much bigger than that. Yeah, it's quite the story. So, yeah, we'll have to track down Walter Burian and find this guy, because I'm sure that if he's still with us, he is just reveling in this news. Yeah. Now, of course, in South Carolina yesterday, you heard about Murdaugh and his sentence for another 40 years. And if you're federal, if you're saying, well, you know, the guy's in their life without parole, well, the reason for this is in the case of an appeal. And there's another 22 years that was tacked on for a different crime of which he was convicted. And so this way, if ever an appeal is successful and one sentence is overturned, another one starts to run. So the bottom line is this guy is not getting out of jail, like ever. And I'm sure there are a lot of people in South Carolina who are feeling very good about this. His lawyers argued, and it was interesting, saying, well, you know, his crimes are certainly less than many other people who get less time. And they were referring, like, to the lady who did was it Thanatos or the whatever the medical thing was, where she supposedly could do drug tests in 5 minutes from a finger prick or whatever. And of course, she's in jail for 11 years over this. And the judge, I think, wisely said, the difference here is that people like those defrauding investors are defrauding just that, people who are investing their money. That's a lot different than a lawyer who is defrauding the most vulnerable clients imaginable. One was an individual who became a quadriplegic after a car wreck. Another, of course, the sons of his housekeeper. And you knew all about that and on. So needless to say, he stole millions from clients who could least afford it. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Where do you think the $1.8 billion came from? Yeah, and so here's the account. $1.8 billion over 10 years. You would think that the bank at least could trace, you know, where the deposits came from, if nothing else, by terms of financial institution or what have you. But I'm curious as heck and wondering if we will ever know. I'm sure that when this was discovered, someone said, don't talk about this. Yeah, well, too late. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. If it's on your mind, it's on mine tonight right here on WGN Radio.
This is the night I am so blue. This is the night when I miss you. This is the night. This is the night. I'm so blue. This is the night.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Larry Tamlin. This is the night, 1961 on Pharaoh. And Larry was a 1961 grad in Sun Valley of Polytech High there. And boy, he was popular with the girls. And but as to why, it's one of those great stories where Larry had a brother, Russ. And Russ was in West Side Story and other movies, Gun Crazy. And he was in Father of the Bride with Elizabeth Taylor. But the deal for Larry was Russ choreographed Jailhouse Rock with Elvis Presley. And Russ wound up giving Larry Elvis Presley's home phone number. So here is Larry, who's at that time like a sophomore at Polytech High in Sun Valley, and all the girls wanted Elvis's phone number. So Larry became pretty entrepreneurial. In any event, his spirit continued. After he graduated from high school, he met Eddie Davis, and Eddie had a storied career, but at that point he was sort of turning his attention to the music scene in East L.A., which was really huge, but not yet on record. And so he and Larry formed a publishing company, and which actually Larry was active in that through the 60s, and did pretty well with some stuff. Now, right after This Is the Night, Larry got into a group, The Atlantics. And it's funny because if you read his bios everywhere, it'll say, after several solo records and a period of lack of success, he formed The Standells. They forgot The Atlantics entirely. And, you know, when you see that they've never had a hit record, you might say, well, what's the big deal? Well, actually, and I will play you coming up something by the Atlantics, Remember the Night. You'll hear Larry on that, of course. But it was who was in that group. In addition to Larry, Gaynell Hodge was in it. Barry White was in it. Al Frazier. So you had a number of Los Angeles R&B luminaries in the Atlantic, but it did nothing, of course. And that was also on one of Eddie Davis's label. He used to name the label after family members, so that one was the Linda label. But in any event, around that time when he was with the Atlantics, he formed the Standells. Now, I have to tell you that when Dave from LaSalle first called and said he was in the Standells, wasn't he? I said, yeah, but there's a story. Actually, there is a story, believe me, isn't there always? He was in the Standells a lot longer than I realized, because there were a lot of changes in that group before Dirty Water hit, but many came and left, but Larry was still with him. He was no longer the lead singer, which he started out as, but he was absolutely still with the group. And the group wound up, first they recorded for a few years on Eddie Davis's label with absolutely no success. And a startling lack of success. And then in 65, Capitol signed them to their budget label, Tower. And they put them with Ed Cobb. And Ed Cobb is fairly legendary producer. In fact, several people can look to him for their success, including Brenda Holloway. So there are a number of things that Ed was involved with, but he got involved with the Standells. And none of the Standells, Larry or any of the others, had ever been to Boston. But Ed Cobb had, and he'd been mugged there. And so it was that he had some lyrics and sort of the beginning of a song for Dirty Water. And what Tamlin, along with Dick Dodd, Dick Dodd, by the way, was a Mouseketeer, not the other Dodd, who was a longtime Mouseketeer, but he's a brief Mouseketeer. And they made fun of him for that. But then when they heard him play drums, they said, well, maybe not. And so, in fact, he was doing vocals for a while. And he left right after Dirty Water, but when it became a hit, he came running back. But in any event, Ed Cobb gave him the lyrics, and what Larry did with some of the other members was really flesh them out, come up with the riffs, come up with the sounds and all that. By the way, they got no writing credit for it. And out it came, and of course it was a big hit. But it wasn't the only thing the Standells did. My favorite Standell story, if there is one, was when Gordon McLendon attacked them. And what it was, Gordon got on his high horse, and of course, you know, McClendon Broadcasting and KLIF in Dallas and all this, and decided that that the Sandells were obscene. Try Me, I think, was the record that he particularly took objection to. Well, he took out an ad in Billboard, and he had this committee, and we're not going to play obscene lyrics. And well, the song wasn't a hit either way. You'd think that that would make it a hit. But the funniest, and I looked before the show because I was hoping against hope the clip would be on YouTube, but it isn't. So I don't have the clip. But in the mind's eye, oh, how I remember it, is Art Linkletter had the Sandells in the form of Larry Tamlin and I think Dick Dodd on to debate Gordon McClendon, and the Sandells won is the bottom line to that. It was truly a moment. Maybe someone someday will have that clip, but that's the story with Larry Tamblyn. And I will play the Atlantics coming up because I thought Remember the Night, and you'll recognize Larry right away, was a terrific record that absolutely should have done something, but of course not. So much for that, and happy to oblige the request in that case of Dave and LaSalle for the Larry Tamblyn story, who's still alive and has a Facebook page. So 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. Who knows? Maybe one night we'll invite him on and see if he'll come talk to us. That would be nice. I've been planning to have some people do that, especially on these nights when, you know, when caller volume is low. That's the polite way of saying it. Yeah, when I'm talking to myself again. And one of them, I want to have the guy on who's the head researcher, pretty much, as far as I'm concerned, for the D.B. Cooper group to find out what the latest is in their minds on that. And, of course, that story won't die because there was never an ending. And who the heck else has successfully, parachuted from an airplane that they hijacked, a 727? Well, I don't know that we'll ever know, but probably whoever was D.B. Cooper is no longer with us. But the story, hopefully, will eventually get to some end. I would like that. So I've been thinking about having them on. Also, the guy, the journalist who had interviewed the whistleblower over the government and what they knew about UFOs, I think that, and that was Russ Coulthart. I think I'd like to have him on because, after that interview, and it was so well watched and everybody talked about it, and they said, yes, there's going to be some hearings, and there were some, and supposedly there will be some more. But from what I understand, at least quietly, is that other whistleblowers have come to Russ with similar stories. So maybe we'll find out. So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Leah and Marcus Hook, and there's room for you two coming up. Plenty of room for you two right here on WGN Radio.
Remember the night we met at the dance. The songs they were playing started our romance.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, it doesn't sound like the Standells, does it? Well, that's Larry Tamlin and the Atlantics, along with everybody else, including Barry White. And the interesting thing is, while that was flopping, that's about the time that Larry formed the Standells, which went through a lot of changes over the years. And it wasn't until 65 when they were put on Tower, the Capitol budget label, that they teamed up with Ed Cobb. And of course, you know, Ed wrote Tainted Love by Gloria Jones. Soft Cell had the hit and all that kind of stuff. But Dirty Water, which is so funny, is it's considered such an anthem in Boston. And it was actually a song about Cobb getting mugged there. And the rest of the Standells, including Larry, hadn't been to Boston. And to this day, I assume by now that they have, because a lot of personnel changes over the years, including Gary. Gary Leeds was in it for a while, who went on to be one of the Walker Brothers and stuff like that. But as I was saying, I thought their claim to fame was Try It. And Try It was actually written by Joey Levine. Yeah, as in Cousinous Cats, Flying Circle, and the Ohio Express, and all that kind of stuff. The Bubblegum King, basically. And Reunion, Life is a Rock, but the radio rolled me. And he wrote Try It. And later, by the way, the Ohio Express recorded it. They're the only group that charted with it. I think they got to number 83, or thereabouts. But the Standells put it out as a 45 on Tower, and that's when Gordon McLendon went nuts. So, yeah, I'll play you the version by the Standells and also some of the Ohio Express. But right now, we got Leah, and Leah is in Marcus Hook. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Raleigh. How are you?
Can't complain. What's up?
Well, before I get to the real reason I called, I just wanted to say I'm actually watching an Amber Tamblyn movie right now.
Really? That's Russ's daughter.
Well, granddaughter, I think.
Really? Well, I guess.
Isn't it granddaughter?
Maybe it could be.
I thought it was granddaughter.
I guess it could be. I guess we're getting up in age. But yes, it's the Russ line. Larry would be her uncle or great uncle.
Okay. Either way, but yeah. I know he was also in Twin Peaks, you know.
Oh, he was in a ton of stuff. But
yeah,
but
he played the crazy psychiatrist in Twin Peaks.
But
favorite show of mine.
Oh, and the nice part, of course, was he had Elvis's phone number, which made Larry a hit for a few years in high school.
Well, I know Russ is a favorite of mine. I watched him in everything he's ever been in.
That's so funny because, of course, I know nothing about him other than he's Larry's brother.
Oh, and I know nothing about Larry.
Of course.
When you mentioned him, but yeah. I knew the name.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, he's got to be related to Russ Tamblyn, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I, you know, obviously over the years, people said, you know, Russ is his brother. I was, okay. I had no idea.
Yeah, and Amber, I follow her career, too.
But, yeah.
I'm watching one of her movies called 127 Hours with James Franco.
So I want to, yes, her father was Russ Tamblyn.
Okay, her father.
Yes,
oh, okay.
Well, I thought it was her father. Now, remember, guys can father children at any age, so...
Yeah, I know.
He's
still alive, though, Russ Tamblyn, right?
As far as I know Larry is, but again, like I say, I only know Russ because he's Larry's brother, you know, but...
Well, he was in West Side Story.
Yes.
He's been Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
Right.
He's been in a lot of stuff.
Right, right. But, you know, if you don't go to movies, but you do buy records, you have no idea who this guy is. But, yeah, he'd be 80 this year, I think. Or 90, because he was born, like, in, oh, God, I think it was, like, 34. Because he was about 9 years older than Larry. So he was the older brother who was a success. And like I say, it was a West Side Story when Larry graduated from high school. But before that, you know, he was in Peyton Place and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And Larry was in high school.
He could be 90. I mean,
he will be
90.
Yeah, he will be 90 this year. I think he's a December baby, but I'm pretty sure. But as far as I know, like I say, Amber is his daughter, but I'm not sure that he raised her. I'm not sure. It was a third wife. It was Bonnie. I don't know what happened to her. But anyway, I'm not 100% sure because... He has another daughter who's you know, in California, not a, I don't think she's in music or anything, but Amber was born in 83, so that would have been Bonnie. So I don't know. It was either the first child or the second child, but one of them he didn't know until they were an adult.
Oh, well, Amber's a really good actress.
Well, good.
Yeah, she's a really good. That's not what I called.
Yeah, but that's not what
I called to tell you about my eye appointment that
yes.
you suggested I get,
and
I'm glad you did, because I have cataracts in both eyes, unfortunately.
Okay, well, that happens. You're a little young, but it does happen. So are you going to do something about it?
Yeah, I have my surgery scheduled for later this month on the right eye.
Okay.
Because that's the one I can't see out of.
Now, have you talked about what kind of lenses you want?
Well, the only one Medicare will pay for is number one. So
okay, so with that, that's true.
$1,500.
Right, that's true, but what you can do with that is you can, by the way, are you very nearsighted in any way?
Yes.
Okay. If you're very nearsighted, when you were growing up, your close-up vision was incredible, but you couldn't see across the room, right?
No. My vision was perfect until I was an adult.
Okay. So you're not you're probably
so
not terribly
way
nearsighted.
Into adulthood.
So way into adulthood, but still the situation was you could see close-up pretty good, but not at a distance.
Right. Well, no, yeah. I use readers now.
As well? Okay, then never mind. It's not going to matter what you do. But for people who are very nearsighted, if they can, I often recommend monovision, where you correct one eye for reading and the other for distance, so you never need glasses.
Oh.
And so, but if you've never done that with contact lenses or you don't know, then you won't know what your dominant eye is, and it would probably be something you don't want to bother with. So what they'll do is probably they'll make both of the powers the same, and you'll probably need readers and distance glasses.
Yeah, I will. But also okay. I have astigmatism, and
right.
But I told her when they do put that in my glasses, I can't take it because I get really nauseous. And she said, well, it won't be the same with the lenses. I'm like, are you sure? Because I don't want to walk around nauseous all the time.
The standard lens that Medicare approves will not correct the astigmatism.
Well, she seems to think it will.
Well, you'll have to report back to me and tell me, because I've never heard that.
Putting it in there.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you know, you can correct it with glasses, of course, but if you want to. But you'll see.
But I can't.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just depressed. I just feel like I can't believe this is happening.
Well, this is not a serious thing. There's probably more cataract surgeries every year than anything else. And it doesn't sound like this was onset as an adult and all that your powers are really, really high. So you don't have to worry about the surgery. You know, if you were telling me, hey, I've got 13 powers, I'd be saying, oh, my God, I've got some issues. But in your case, I don't. And like I say, it's about the most performed surgery. And in the last 20 years, they've even made advances. So it's routine.
I have to have the other one done in June because I'm seeing fine out of it. There's no obstruction.
Well, absolutely. You know, people ask me the best time to do cataract surgery. Used to be in the old days when they did it, you would wait as long as you can so the cataract was ripe. That's not either here nor there anymore at all. So the time to do cataract surgery is when you want to. And
I have to have my teeth out in May, so okay. That's why I'm waiting.
Right. Oh man,
for my other eye.
Man, well you've got some stuff coming up. That's for sure.
Do.
But most people, I'd say overwhelmingly, the reaction after cataract surgery is, I can't believe how much better I see. So,
really?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, for many people who wait a long time, it's very common that they say, the only thing I'm sorry about is I waited this long.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I didn't know what it was. And then I think it was you or somebody said to me it might be cataract.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, this is a good outcome. Because
it
this,
is?
Yes. Do you know how many
I'm
things?
I'm really depressed about it.
Well, don't be. Because there are many things you could have been diagnosed as having that wouldn't have been treatable.
Well, I know, because my grandfather had macular degeneration, and I was really afraid it would be that.
Well, and see, it isn't. So,
no, it isn't.
So this is all good news. So no, you've okay. picked one where they have a lot of experience with this, and as long as your doctor's done a ton of them, you will be routine.
And I like my new doctor too.
Good.
She's really good, and she's really gentle and kind, and okay. she listens when I ask questions. She listens and
good.
She responds and she answers all my questions. And
so, what date are you doing it?
Wait a minute. I think on the 24th or something.
Okay.
The 24th.
Okay, April 24th. All right.
April 24th. I hope that's a good day with the moon and all that.
Well, Wednesday, April 24th. You want me to see if the moon is void, of course, or not? I'll be happy to do that. But, again, I wouldn't be too concerned. But let's look at the void, of course, tables. Be happy to do that for you. And
thank you.
Let's go to April 20. Stop that. I hate these websites where they have four different things they're offering. It'll be perfect. The moon will not be void, of course, on the 24th, and the moon will be in Scorpio, and Scorpio does not rule the eyes, so you're fine.
Oh, great. Great. Wonderful.
Yeah. I'm going to make sure of that, by the way. I'm pretty sure it does not, because you don't ever want to do it on a sign that rules the body part. Aries rules the eyes. That's what I thought. All right, so I didn't want to give you bad information. So astrologically speaking, for whatever you want to believe in it, it's smooth sailing.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll check back with you in May about my tooth surgery, because they're putting me to sleep for that.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and that's long overdue, but I was really sorry you couldn't get the implants. But then again, maybe better for your health not to. Not everybody does well with them.
Yeah, and then I know that's true. Not everybody does well with them, and then they may like. I know someone who's getting the implants, and they have to rebuild her jaw.
Oh yeah, that can happen.
Like, I mean, they have to.
Yeah, depending.
I couldn't even take that.
Yeah, well, no. I think this will all be good news, and 2024 sounds like a good year for you.
Oh, I hope so. Raleigh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, don't worry about this one.
Fingers crossed for me. So.
Oh, you betcha. We'll keep
you out there, please.
Yeah, keep you in our prayers for that. No doubt about it. But I think that this should be a walk in the park.
Okay, I'm petrified. You know, petrified.
Believe me, I understand. But again, this is so routine. So and yes, everybody would be petrified. Nobody wants their body screwed with, of course. But again, this is not like a surgery that has a questionable track record.
Is there a lot of pain involved with?
There shouldn't be any pain.
Like afterwards?
No, shouldn't be any pain. You'll just do the eye drops the way you're supposed to ward off infection. They'll give you a whole series of eye drops and times to do it and all that. Follow the advice, and that's it.
I know, like, I have to go in tomorrow for my pre-op thing.
Good.
And then I have to go in the day afterwards.
Of course. Post-op, of course.
Check-up.
Yeah, you want that. You absolutely want that stuff. Sure.
Okay.
And tomorrow they're going to take some measurements. Painless, you won't even know it, but they're going to look at a few things. And
Well, no, tomorrow's my regular doctor. For
pre-op. All right. All right.
And then next week, the week after that, is my eye doctor for pre-op.
All right.
Measurements and stuff.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
So
I'm almost positive.
A lot of doctor's appointments.
Well, yeah. The older you get, the more you have. But this sounds good. And again, considering all you could have been diagnosed with, thank the Lord for what it is.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Raleigh. Thank you for making me go to the doctor.
Yes, my pleasure. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay,
yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, I know. It's so easy not to. And I'll tell you, that's the worst thing you can do for your health. You know, I'm no doctor. I don't play one on the radio. Don't take any medical advice from me. But one world advice you can take from me is if you have symptoms of anything, do not wait. All right, that's the thing, because the people I know who have gotten in the biggest trouble, and it can be on anything, is because, well, I thought it would go away. Well, I thought it would get better. You know, no, go. Absolutely. Be a pain. Go. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. All right, so before we do anything else, we're going to talk to Dave, who's a first-time caller, because he'll go away. Dave is in Southeast Pennsylvania. All right, Dave, welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Glad you did. You got requests, do you?
I have requests, and I kind of have an assignment for you. I'd like you to talk about it at some point. You don't have to do it tonight,
okay. But
I started listening to my first transistor radio when I turned 13, which was 1959, and I could get KDKA in Pittsburgh on a good night,
yeah.
Or KBW in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I got hooked on the theme songs. And, mm-hmm. Of course, Tom Shannon was on, yeah, up there in Buffalo with Wild Weekend.
Right.
And that was his theme song. And there were some of the others that I got a little later on when I was listening to WIBG down in the Philadelphia area.
Right, Wibbage, of course.
Yeah, that was Frank Exceller and High Lit and,
yeah,
those guys.
Joe Niagara, of course.
Joe Niagara. Now, you know, I heard you mention Harvey Holiday here,
yes,
a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Well, he was in Reading here for a while.
I'm
just outside of Reading. Yep.
Yeah.
And I used to listen to him eventually when he was on OGL in Philadelphia before he retired.
Sure.
He played a lot of things, but when I was early on and really a young boy, I'd catch KDKA in Pittsburgh.
Sure, of course.
And one of my favorite songs that I don't ever hear it much unless I seek it, it was done by the Holidays. It was Miss You.
Uh-huh.
And that was a great slow record.
Yeah.
And I always thought they got overshadowed by many of the other Pittsburgh groups.
Well, they were
the
from
Skyliners, yeah.
The Holidays
Luke
were
Christie.
From Pittsburgh, right? But remember, the Holidays were from Pittsburgh. They were a Pittsburgh group. And if you were not like,
oh, yeah,
you know, you'd hear them like Porky Chedwick or Mad Mike. I mean, they were regulars, but I could play the Holidays for you, sure.
Yeah, yeah, that would be a good one. And another one is that I would ask you to play was by Lee Andrews. And it just wasn't, I never heard it get much of a play, but it's my favorite, A Night Like Tonight.
Okay, sure.
Now, what I'd really like you to talk about sometime is Dion and the Belmonts was always a favorite of mine. And then when Dion went away on his own, the Del Satins backed him up.
Right.
And Teardrops Follow Me and Feeling No Pain was another one. But
sure.
Then what really interested me, I was a huge Johnny Maestro fan.
Right.
And when
hang on a minute. You got to hang on. John says I better shut up and we're going to go to the news, but stay right where you are and we'll talk Del Satins and Chris and anybody you want. Don't go away. All right. We're going to pick
won't
it up
go
right
away.
There.
I'll hang on.
On WGN Radio.
It's all right. I'm gonna tell you something, and you better listen. By the way you look, I can tell that you want some action. Action is my middle name. Come over here, pretty girl. I'll give you satisfaction. But to unneed it for this game, I'll give you sweet love you never had before. You think you've seen it all, but you don't know what's in store. Come on, try it. You look excited and you figure that it's just a bluff. Huh. Don't you dare walk away. I'll get you tough little chip before you fall in love. Come here, girl, what do you say? Just give the word and my good loving will start. I'll serve a feverish pitch that's headed straight for your heart, yeah. Come on, child.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is, the Standells, Try Me, 1967 on Tower, and that's the one that Gordon McLendon went nuts over and started saying, you know, we got to clean up these lyrics, and, you know, had a committee and all these things, and as I say, is debating the Standells on the Art Linkletter show, and the Standells won, by the way. But that was written by Joey Levine, the King of Bubblegum, And actually, when the Standells didn't chart with it, because most stations followed Gordon McLennan's lead on that, actually, he figured, what the hell, I'll put it out with the Ohio Express, and it got to about number 83. It sounded a little like this. So there you have the quote-unquote hit version, yeah, number 83 with an anchor. So we're talking about the Del Sentons and more with Dave in southeast Pennsylvania. Welcome back to WGN. So we left you with the Del Sentons, and you said you had a question or something you wanted me to straighten out. Are you there? Oh, wait. Dave can't say a word yet. This is all my fault. Now you can. Dave's back.
Okay.
All right. So, tell me.
Okay. I know that after Dion left and the Belmonts, he had a backup, which was the Del Satins.
Right.
And I knew Carlo Mastrangelo. They had a couple hits, the Belmonts, on their own. One of them was Ring-a-Ling.
Right, which Murray the K loved that. Murray the K would put it on. It was actually a flip side, but Murray the K would put it on his Battle of the Bands like every damn week for a year. So, yeah.
Well, here's my thing. I know that I was a huge Johnny Maestro fan.
Uh-huh.
And after he left the Crest,
right,
he played for a while. And then they were forming the Brooklyn Bridge, and they were looking for a musical combination. And that's when they joined with the Del Satins.
Right. It was part of the Del Satins and part of another group that became the Brooklyn Bridge. And the name is interesting, if you're unaware of that, because, of course, you know, you got Johnny Maestro, who had hits a decade earlier, really, and he was talking with some music publishers and stuff and said, we're going to release something else. And he said, at this point in time, buddy, you got as much chance of selling the Brooklyn Bridge. He said, that's the name of the group. And so that's where that came from. But yes, it was a combined effort. And the Del Satins were not only behind Dion, but they were sort of the house band for a while on Clay Cole. So, you know, the TV show, Teenage Dance Show, mm-hmm, in New York. And they also did the backing on Ernie Maresca, like Shout, Shout, Knock Yourself Out.
Shout, Shout, yeah.
That's the Del Satins as well. And so, you know... They moved to Mala and to BT Puppy, and they didn't really do anything. And then Ziska left. That was Stan Ziska, who formed the Del Satins originally. And, you know, they back and forth and all that. And then, like you mentioned, here's the guy from the Crests. And they also had Tommy Ferrara from the Capris and all that over the years. So yeah, I believe the Rhythm Method was the other group that the Del Satins merged with to form Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, well, I think they came up with a great sound, because I listened to them. I still listen to them as much as I can. I really like that music. And when I happened to be listening to, it could have been satellite radio, when Johnny Maestro passed away in 2010, and there was a live call in from Dion, and he just praised him. He said he had the Rolls Royce voice of all.
No, it's true. And, you know, with Dion and, of course, the split from the Del Vikings, not the Del Vikings, I'm sorry, the Belmonts, that was not acrimonious. It was just they wanted to go in different musical directions, but it turned out that Dion didn't get his wish. Because Dion really wanted to sing blues and stuff like that. And, of course, what was always being pitched to him was, you know, basically little poppy records. But he did very well with them, but it was not where his heart was.
Oh, that's interesting. That I didn't know.
Well, and of course, he also had the problem that he was addicted to heroin at the time, which didn't help. Nonetheless, it wasn't a thing. A lot of people thought it was this big breakup, and it really wasn't. The Belmonts went their way, and Dion went his.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been interesting. This is the kind of things I like to talk about. So next time I have some of this I want to talk about, I'll give you a call, and we can hash this out.
I'll look forward to it. Thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate the call. Thanks, Dave.
You bet.
All right.
Now.
So there you have it. Yeah, always happy to talk about good old rock and roll, as it were. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And speaking of Dave in LaSalle, he is back. So welcome back, Dave.
Hi, Raleigh. Hey, that's really good stuff about that Larry Tamblyn and all that history of that, yeah. Brother. I knew nothing about that. And, boy, I sure like that Atlantic song he did with the well-written with cherry pie and all those songs.
And it ends with Goodnight, My Love. I mean, it's just, it was a great little East L.A. record, but it did absolutely nothing.
Okay, now, one other thing I want to call about, if I could take a minute or two. You know, I did have cataract surgery. I don't know if I mentioned that to you. I guess I did a few months ago.
Uh-huh.
And I know you had a caller that she seems really concerned about it. And I'll tell you what, it's a procedure, and it's painless.
Mm-hmm.
And it went well. I had one done mid-February and the other one done in early part of March.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you the truth, I don't think I prepped more longer than it did to do the thing.
That's true.
And they just put a lot of drops in your eyes, which I think are numbing.
Yes.
And they feel cool. It's cooling.
Yeah.
And the only incident I admit, they said I have to lay flat, and I say, I need two pillows. I have trouble breathing that. And they said, they'll give me oxygen. And they did.
Right.
And it went well, and I went last week. And for readers, I have to get fit for those because trying to read like my text and that is hard. So,
mm-hmm.
But boy, for long distance, I can read the TV, the captions on it. I can see license plate numbers. It improved my distance. Great.
That's great.
And the glasses they're giving me are, it'll be mainly, they said, for when you're reading them close.
Yeah.
Like readers. So, if it's comforting and all for that person who called. I hope it goes as well for her. I'm 81, so I'm concerned about stuff, anything they do to me, you know.
Sure.
And it really went well, and I'm pulling for her. I hope hers goes pretty smooth like mine did.
Oh, I bet you it will. You know, it's really the odd circumstance when it doesn't. I mean, statistically speaking, this is about as easy as it gets in terms of surgery. So I'm sure she'll be fine.
Not near as easy as this.
Right. Exactly. Now, I don't care what it is, of course. If it's you, the night before is the worst night ever, the night before surgery. We all hate that. But the relief afterwards is palpable. She's going to be fine.
Well, we're pulling for her, and I'll get off the air here now. But thanks for Larry Tamblyn.
Oh, my pleasure. Always good to hear from you, Dave. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
All right, 888-876-5593. We got Marilyn, we got Bill, we got Eduardo, we got Bruce. Oh, Bruce has been hanging on a while. Bruce, you're next, I promise, coming up from Racine. We got Ruth as well, and one line. Let me make it available right as I speak. Okay, one line available for you right now. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Tell him, Carla. Baby,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, Johnny D wanted to hear the Ray Charles version of it. I couldn't find it easily, but I thought, why not Rufus and Carla? Yeah, Nighttime is the Right Time, 1964 on Stax. So I hope Johnny D liked that version. So we'll get Ray Charles as well. But for now, Rufus and Carla, it is Rufus Thomas and his daughter, Carla Thomas. 888-876-5593. Bruce in Racine, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, wow. Robbie, great. I asked John. Maybe we could play the Fleetwoods Come Softly. However, you prompted me with the Standells, and we danced our feet off up here on the North Shore back in the 60s. Oh, man. 3 years worth. Great memories. And so I thought, okay, the Fleetwoods, yeah, let's get that. But when you played that last Standell slow, but play the Fleetwoods anyhow, if you got room for it, okay?
Oh, sure. Now, that's your favorite, Come Softly to Me?
Well, I grew up with my... I'm going to get misty here. I grew up with my brother in that song. Okay. He graduated from Boys Town, okay?
Okay.
Went on to become... All right,
I will be happy to do it on the Dalton label, originally the Dolphin label, and then they found out there was another one, so they were the Dalton label. You bet it.
All right.
Thanks, appreciate it. And the Fleetwoods were not named after a car. They were named after a telephone exchange in Olympia. And Dalton, which had been Dolphin, was Bob Reisdorf's label. He was like a appliance salesman of some sort, had some kind of a shop. But 888-876-5593. Bill in Boston, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. There was an article at the Globe here about... A restaurant, or I guess it was more of a bar, that ASCAP had gone in and cited them for not paying their fees.
Yes.
And I was wondering, they said somehow that if they could do it through like something called Spotify and pay them, they wouldn't have the... By paying Spotify, they wouldn't have to pay the fees. That would be covered by Spotify business account.
Okay.
And some other people, then they were making comments saying, well, what if you were just playing a radio? Would you still have to pay fees?
No.
You wouldn't.
If you amplified that radio, if you took that radio and put it over speakers, yes, you would. But if you're talking about you got a little tabletop radio at the cash register, no, you don't. So amplification is the answer to that.
Oh, okay. But, and they were saying they're pretty vigilant about going after these people.
They have to be. And, they have people, BMI does as well, and they are rewarded financially for turning violators in. And there are companies like Spotify that have something called Spotify for Business. It's not the same thing that you as a listener would do. You'd sign up for, you know, Spotify for restaurants, and it's built for business, and you can play all you want. You're going to be paying them. Yeah. If you look at it right now, very little music is sold in terms of physical media or downloads. Almost everything is streaming. And so that makes these companies, these performing rights societies, even more vigilant about making sure that people pay for the use.
Yeah, they said even if they were running a jukebox there, they'd still have to pay.
Well, that would be considered to be amplified. That's the deal. And you cannot play copyrighted music in a place of business. Again, if it's a little tabletop radio by the cashier's thing, they can't get you for that. That's personal use. But the minute you put it over your speakers, and I've told a story about this that's really, really kind of funny. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that coming up right here on WGN Radio.
Dum-dum, 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 dum-dum. dum do dum do be do dum 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 do dum do be do dum dum. I love you so, doobie-doo. Please hold, hold me so tight, doobie-doo. All through the night. Dum-dum, dum-dum-dum.
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Hello there, the Fleetwoods, Barbara, Gretchen, and Gary. It's Gary Troxell, as I mentioned many times. He actually is in the Supreme Court records. He took a grandfather's right suit, he and his wife, to court. He didn't prevail, but he's certainly down there. Long story that. But what a great voice he had, and really didn't like being on the road, as far as that goes. And so you didn't see much of him after the hits. So we're talking to Bill in Boston about music rights, and I will say it's certainly not cut and dried anymore for one player in this. You're talking about ASCAP and BMI, but you also have to consider Sound Exchange if you're involved in streaming. So what they did in the 90s is they took the rule that you were allowed to have one consumer radio somewhere and you'd be exempt from that, and they changed it. What they said now is that if the business is playing an FCC-licensed radio or television station or a cable or satellite station that has paid royalties, then there is exception providing, and here's where you get into the gray area, it's got to have less than, say, 2,000 square feet. It can't have more than six speakers and four in any one room if it's radio, and if it's TV, it can't be more than four, and none can be bigger than 55 inches, you know, that kind of thing. So there's other rules for bars and food service to some degree, but the big exception is that it's no longer about is it a consumer type radio. Now it's about, are you playing a licensed FCC radio or TV or cable or satellite station? So again, if you're not, now you're streaming, and now you've got Sound Exchange in the mix.
Yeah, the article also mentioned how you had BMI, ASCAP, but now there's a couple more.
Well, there's always been CSECT, and then the interloper is something called GMR. Don't start me on GMR, but but you got to pay them. You know, this is Irving
that's
Azoff.
What they were saying.
Irving Azoff, and I wish the man the very worst.
But they said, how you're right, the size of the establishment is how much they pay, but they said now, you know, you really have to pay all four.
Well, of course you do.
Because unless you have the ability to say, I'm just going to do BMI songs.
Yeah, don't ever, ever, ever try that, because the way the law works is if you play it without being licensed, they can charge you an unlimited amount of money. There is no limit to the fine they can impose on you. Basically, it's in a highway robbery, as far as I'm concerned. You don't want to flout this. If you're falling under performing rights, you're going to pay all four. Now, but again, if you are streaming, do not forget Sound Exchange.
Well, all right, I'll let you go. Can I make a couple of requests?
Of course. Which one?
How about Reed Petit by Jackie Wilson?
A fine song.
And something by Hank Ballard. What was it? Hoochie Coochie Girl or Let's Go, Let's Go.
Okay.
Either one of those.
Okay.
And just one other, years ago I bought an album. You were talking about Dion and the Belmonts,
mm-hmm.
and it was a reunion.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody used to run, I don't know whether it was Madison Square Garden or something.
Yeah.
He'd run these shows.
Sure.
And it starts out by saying, he's saying how people have asked me to try to get Dion and the Belmonts back together.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, and it was a very good album.
Yeah, 1972.
Oh, well, that far back. Yeah, I still have it, but
Yeah, absolutely. That's about the time that a lot of these groups got a second life on the road, because after Gus Gossert and everybody else, all the reunion shows became really big. So, yes.
All right. Well, hey, thank you, and thanks for talking
about thanks for calling.
BMI, I appreciate
it.
And so forth.
Absolutely. Good to hear from you. Thanks. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we have Marilyn, and she's in San Jose. All right, Marilyn, welcome to WGN Radio.
Well, thank you. I'm sitting here working on New York Times connections while I'm waiting.
Oh, good.
And I'm thinking, I don't like to make it a medical show, but I'm having cataract surgery on my other eye tomorrow morning.
Oh, wow.
I want your listener to not worry about a gosh darn thing.
Yeah. Good, good.
If you have to go through any surgery, my gosh, it's exactly what you said. It's the easiest thing to go through.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it doesn't, you know, I mean, thank God it's your second eye, because you know what to expect. But, you know, on your on your first eye, that night before surgery, you get those butterflies, no doubt about it. But in the end, it's such a relief, and you feel so good after it that it's worth it.
Well, it really is. And she mentioned that she did have an astigmatism, which I do as well.
Uh-huh.
So I opted for the second surgery, which was recommended, not necessarily the Medicare version.
Right, exactly.
You were exactly right about that.
Yeah.
You know, you pay an extra, well, it's $1,600. That's a lot of money for somebody who doesn't have it. But in the long run, it is absolutely wonderful.
No, that's great. And there are several several different lenses. The most recent that they've come up with is an adjustable IOL, where after the surgery for a few weeks, you can go in and have it adjusted with lasers until it's perfect. And then you seal
Isn't
it
Isn't that
in.
Remarkable?
It really is. Now, I haven't been as impressed with the lenses that adapt to whether you need them for distance or you need them for close-up, because a lot of those, you're getting a lot of halos at night with distance.
Yes. Well, which is why I'm going with the toric.
Yes.
And it's strictly distance, so I will require the reading glasses.
Yeah.
I'm walking around now with one nearsighted eye and one farsighted. But my sister, at the same time, come to think of it, had surgery, as you were talking about, nearsighted on one side and distance on the other.
Absolutely.
Which she is used to because of wearing contacts.
Precisely. That and that's important because there's no way to know which your dominant eye is. Many years ago when I first tried this with contact lenses, they assumed my dominant eye was the right eye. I never, ever could get used to it. Switched to the left eye, and within 24 hours, it was just like old home week. I knew it, and I was comfortable with it. But I sure wouldn't want to make that decision on a cataract surgery if I didn't know that in advance.
Exactly. So anyway, she's going through it, and she too has had no problems. The hardest part is doing the eye drop.
Yeah, that's what I was telling her. Yeah, you got to follow those instructions. It's really important.
It's so important.
Yes.
You don't want any type of an infection to set in, you know?
No, I know. I've wanted to do it, but I'm so nearsighted that they are hesitant at this point. So at some point I'll take the gamble, but there's a high likelihood of, with my vision, with retinal detachment. So I've been waiting.
Oh, well, you have to be extremely careful making that decision.
Yeah. And
it's a big decision.
It's funny. I didn't know until recently that technically I'm legally blind, because you know, with glasses I correct enough to get around and stuff like that. But John had said, ask the doctor, I know you're lean. They said, oh yeah, no, this is way off the charts, this is really bad. Okay. so
my god,
at some
point, I've procrastinated honestly, I would say for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
You know.
Very
common. And he said to me at the time, he said, you know, I'm not going to tell you when to do it. You will know when to
exactly.
do it.
Exactly. Exactly. And like I say, with most people, the only regret they have is they didn't do it sooner.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, good luck tomorrow
good
morning.
Good luck with your eyes, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, well, good luck tomorrow morning. Let me know how it comes out. I'm sure it'll be fine.
It'll be fine. I'll have my McDonald's pancakes afterwards.
There you go. There's a treat. All right, good deal. Thanks, Marilyn.
All
appreciate
right.
it.
Okay.
All right.
Goodbye.
So, yeah, and unless you have other conditions going on there, I would urge anybody who is ready for it. Man, I haven't heard anybody say, gosh, I'm sorry I did this. All right, Eduardo in Tampa, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, right. Well, I was going to talk about here in a moment about being pampered to go back into the office here, but I'll get into that in a moment after seeing that on Inside Edition. But regarding my position.
Yes, yes.
So I responded to, because it's a new month, and she came back with that they have something overnight. So
okay.
I just went ahead and responded, yes, I would be interested. The only thing with this is they have, I'm assuming that she's referring to the therapist because she says once they graduate from whatever schooling they're getting, that's when I'll be involved as far as working there.
So where will this be?
At the hospital.
Okay, at the hospital. And it'll
still be at the hospital.
It'll be an overnight shift. Now, is it a 4-day or 5-day week?
Well, that's I have to talk to her.
Uh-huh.
So I responded to the email. So I'm waiting for her to respond back to maybe do like a phone interview.
Right.
And then I'll be able to get more details about, you know, hours and other information.
And
so
what would
maybe
the
that might be.
What would the position be? What would you be doing?
Oh, it's... let me look at here. Respiratory equipment tech.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, respiratory equipment tech.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. And you have experience in this, I take it.
Well, I never worked in a hospital, but, you know, we'll see how the training goes. So I'm sure it'll work out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you'll learn a new skill. That'd be great.
Yeah. You know, it's something I kind of held off as far as working somewhere else, and I really wanted to work at a hospital. So that was my dream thing to do next. So
good.
Hopefully it's going to work out. But, you know, we'll see. I'll find out more details, and I'll definitely share them, you know.
Yeah.
Once we do the phone interview.
Yeah.
Well, there'll be more specific details. But, yeah, I didn't want to, like... I don't want to say no because it was overnight. I mean, I just want to go ahead and
absolutely
get in there. I mean, maybe down the line, there'll be something where you're working during the day. So I just wanted to get in there. And one of the networking events told me if the opening occurs,
it
may not be to your first choicing. Yeah, but once you're inside, then you can maneuver to a better time.
Right.
A different position. But if you're holding off for your very favorite, you might be waiting a long time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, get in there. 100% get in there.
Yeah.
Well, good.
So we'll see how it goes, yeah.
I'll
definitely give you more details about the position once I talk to her name is Teresa, so.
All right. Well, good.
Yeah.
I'll keep my fingers crossed that this is the perfect thing.
Yeah. But moving on to what I saw Inside Edition. So they were showing this piece where, and this is, I think, in Manhattan over there in New York, and they have a 20% vacancy rate or something like that. And they're getting these pool tables and this racquetball gym and all this. I remember in the old days, they didn't have this stuff to, you know, get people to work. But now it's kind of like a pampering thing now to get the worker back into the office.
Yes.
It's kind of ironic.
Well, I can see it, because if people have been successfully working from home, they don't see any benefit in going back in. Now, there are some people, of course, who like the social aspect of it and want to work around others. But for people who don't, it'll be interesting to see how many pool tables and potluck dinners and everything else entices them. You know, if it were me, I'd be staying home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They interviewed this, I think it was on this station, one of the afternoon hosts. They were saying where she loved working. I think this was a lady. She loved working because that's where she got... She probably made more friends from working in mm-hmm. the office than being outside of work.
Right.
I thought that was interesting.
Many people feel that way. And especially if you haven't, you know, started your family and met your mate in school and all that, it's hard when you're an adult to meet people. So for some people, they like the social aspect. I'm not one of them, by the way. But for people who do, they love it. But yes, there are a number of people who it's going to be hard to get them out of the house if they've been successfully working from home. So interesting. Good for them. I'll be curious to see how it goes. But I'm real curious
yeah.
how it goes for you. Keep me posted.
Oh, yeah.
All
I'll
right.
come back later in the week,
okay,
especially if I talk to Teresa. And, you know, but, yeah, I'll definitely keep you updated about new details. But I guess once these people graduate, and then I'm assuming they're like a therapist, and
good.
I'll be working there, yeah.
Excellent.
So
excellent.
It's coming up.
All right.
It's coming up. We're moving forward, so yeah.
Excellent news. Thanks for calling.
Okay. All right.
All
have
right.
a good evening.
So okay. 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And I think that I did what I was supposed to earlier, but Adam will correct me if I'm wrong. Otherwise, I'll just prattle on till another couple minutes here, and we'll talk to Eric in Illinois. How's it going, Eric?
Oh, pretty good, thank you. All right. I heard, or I saw this either on TV or on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
The best thing you can do to protect your retina is to wear a visor, like maybe a baseball hat, or they make these fishing hats with an extra long visor.
Okay.
It'll protect your retina from the sun.
Yeah, no, if it's sun-related, of course, and that's so true. You should protect your body in general from the sun, yes. Yeah, they've got full-face visors and stuff like that, but that's a little different than if you're worried about detachments.
About
right.
30 years ago, I went to get my eyes checked.
Yeah.
And the woman said, it's just going to be like a puff of air. And she blasted my air. I can only compare it to the air hose at the gas station. I mean, I almost wanted to get up and slap her, but that wasn't my nature.
All right. Well, it turns out I was supposed to break, so I guess I'm off the air. But I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Eric.
Do that for me, lady.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and those are the Whispers. Yeah, as far as their later years, well, charted in 1980, recorded in 1979. That by far is my favorite, and I wasn't alone. That was on Scotty's list of requests, and we like to refer to that every now and then, play something just for Scotty. So where we are, Scotty, that was for you. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And Robert is in Stickney. What's going on, Robert?
Yeah, I just wanted to know if anybody could give a history of this record company. You could. I was watching a PBS special a few nights ago, and I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about the Vocalion label.
Yeah, it was formed by a company that made organs and pianos, and it was bought by Brunswick in 1924. So I think they formed it around 1916, before World War One, and they sold the records, and they tried to sell record players. But anyway, in 1924, Brunswick picked them up. And it was under Brunswick that you would have known of them, because that's when they brought the 1000 series out, and that's what they called quote unquote race records. And so you saw a lot of things in the latter 20s and the 30s, and it was meant to be for African American listeners. Well, ultimately CBS bought the American Record Corporation, and they had been operating Vocalion, and that would be the later 30s. And what they did in 1940, because Brunswick still existed, don't get me wrong, but when they bought Vocalion, what they did was they discontinued it in favor of OK. So OK, OKEH, the OK label. And so, but then it came back.
Oh, sure.
It came back, because in the late 50s, Decca used the name as a budget labels for reissues. And ultimately, I think they stopped by the early 70s. And its replacement, I think, was Coral, which was a budget label for MCA at that point in time.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I know they had, there were a lot of like real old gospel and blues recordings that go way back.
Well, that was Brunswick's attempt. Like I say, during they bought it somewhere in 1924, and I'd say around 25 or 26, they really started issuing. It was all in that 1000 series, a lot of them. Jim Jackson was one of the artists. But anyway, this became a big seller throughout the South in particular, and a lot of the artists, too, you know, from Memphis or Mississippi, and, you know, like Robert Johnson and all that, that would be on Vocalion. And by the late 30s, it was really big. And that's when Columbia bought the company that was managing the Vocalion assets. And then they put it under Columbia, and they discontinued the label and called it, you know, merged it with OK, which also was, you know, well-known label for soul especially.
Yeah, did they start in the Chicagoland area, or?
You know, I do not think so. As far as that goes, and I think that because I don't think, you know, Brunswick was interesting as well, and so you know, there's such a whole big deal that's Warner's now, I think. But in any event, where they were going with Vocalion was they really wanted that Deep South. And
I see.
You know, there could have been, because obviously Chicago is resplendent with blues artists, but there could have been. I'll have to look at that 1000 series to see who was on it.
Yeah, that was during the big, what they call the big migration of the black folks from the South to the North, too. Yeah.
Well, it was a combination of that.
Musically, too.
Yeah, but you also had, you know, that's toward the end of that is when you had like a WLAC at night doing mail order records and things like that. So, they were heavily serving the South. But I'm trying to find out if there were any Chicago bluesmen on Vocalion. Probably. I wouldn't be surprised. And I can look up that 1000 series. Obviously, we're not talking about 33 or 45. These are all shellac. These are 78s.
Oh, sure. Oh, right. Yeah, that goes way back. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Let's see. 1936, yeah. Victoria Spivey and the Chicago Four on Vocalion. At least one. But I'm looking at the complete artist Vocalion roster. And let's see, Albert Amos, Amos Easton. Amos Easton was Chicago. Some of this stuff is also going to be like some big band or even some country. Like, I think there was actually some Benny Goodman that was on Vocalion too. But Big Bill Brunzi. Now that's Chicago. There apparently is quite a bit of it. But you're going to see more Delta blues, more of that, more of the southern stuff. But you are absolutely seeing some Chicago. And of course, you know, you also for a while on the label had Billie Holiday, but she was on so many things. Blind John Davis, I think he was Memphis, but I'm not sure. But in any event, Vocalion was huge because at the time there weren't that many labels that were dedicating themselves to quote unquote race records.
Right. And I just thought now too of he doesn't go back quite as far, but I had I just thought of a request. John Lee Hooker, Spoonful. Okay. If you get a chance later on in the week, yeah.
Okay, writing it down so I won't forget it.
Yes.
Spoonful.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't want to keep the line too long, but I thought of there was another. Boy, those PBS specials are very, very interesting. The documentaries, and I was watching one a few nights ago about the history of the Eiffel Tower, and what struck me, and I thought about you, was back in 1898 that they actually transmitted to some military post over 200 miles away. I was wondering if that Eiffel Tower could be considered one of the first transmitters.
Well, you know, and you got to take a look at what they're transmitting as well. Remember, telegraph was really coming up big by the mid-1800s, and from that point forward, you had a lot of different transmissions out there, and some experimental and some not. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was interesting, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, well, good.
Okay, Raleigh.
All right.
Yeah, mention that.
Yeah.
Okay, have a good night now.
You too. Thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, so there were apparently a number of people from Chicago still looking at the Vocalion roster, but there are quite a few. But yeah, they were big in their day, that's for sure. Now, what else? 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we'll get to John and Waukegan and Ron in Maryville, Indiana, and Ruth and Gurney, Marianne in Chicago, and hopefully you too at 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Spoon, that spoon, that. You fight.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I'm so glad Robert requested that. John Lee Hooker, I couldn't find it. Howlin' Wolf was the person most associated with it, though I almost played the Harvey and Etta version because they did one too. It was a Willie Dixon tune, Spoonful on Chess by Howlin' Wolf. 888-876-5593. And that will take us to Ron in Maryville. What's up tonight, Ron?
How are you tonight?
Can't complain.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. I'm hanging in there myself.
Good.
I just wondered, before I was going to call you about the NCAA playoffs and North Carolina State versus UConn coming up. I'm waiting to see that game. North Carolina State is sort of a Cinderella team of sorts.
Okay.
And I'm kind of, and UConn's a very smooth, almost professionally styled team. But what I wanted got into, you were talking to a young lady on the phone who's going in for cataract surgery tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I had cataract surgery about 21 years ago on one eye and about 19, 20 years ago on the other eye. And I was astonished at what's changed since I had my cataract surgery.
Yes.
It's a highly successful procedure now. They do both eyes separately about a year apart.
Mm.
But I have retinal deterioration. I have macular degeneration is
sure.
The term they use. And I'm 85 now, so I'm like an old car that's broke down, but we can't replace the parts in people like you can in an old car. And I'm going through the deterioration of my vision. I spent a lot of years in the printing trade, printing plastic containers and doing research and supervising and training people and operating the presses. And I found that the exposure to ultraviolet light that we had in our ultraviolet curing lamps has caused acceleration of my vision deterioration. At least that's what I think it is.
Now, do you have wet AMD or dry?
No, I'm dry, thank God.
Yeah, okay.
And one retinologist told me there's normally 9 layers to the retina, and now I'm down to about 1.
Wow.
Deterioration.
Wow.
So another retinologist told me that I was surprised at how many different specialists there are of eyes.
Oh, there are. Oh, as for ophthalmology, you betcha.
Yeah, starting with ophthalmologist and optometrist, ophthalmologist. I used to get my eyes tested twice a year. I used to drive racing boats, and I have my eyes tested twice a year because at the speeds we were running, I had to have glasses. I used to get Bausch & Lomb prescription shooter's glasses to drive racing boats with,
right.
And they were very expensive back then. But anyway, I'm astonished that you're talking about the progress that's made from 2001, until now with the different kinds of lenses they can put in your eye for your situation when you have that come in and your eyes start clogging up and they can replace that. But I was going to talk about the Final Four. I was astonished at the way they've changed college basketball rules and regulations. The Big Ten now is on pay TV. So I followed the Big Ten religiously in basketball, particularly in football. And I tried to get a cable hookup that I could afford, being a retired old man and living on fairly decent Social Security pension. I got into a situation where I called up the one station. They were offering cable service or satellite service, I forget which one, for $19 a month. I just could afford that, so I called them up. I said, well, do you have the Big Ten channel? No, we don't. That's not in our 1995 package. I said, well, what's the next price package up? It's $48 a month. I said, well, do you have the Big Ten channel on that? Oh, no, that's not in our $48 a month package. I said, well, what package is it? He said, a $93 a month package.
Right,
get the Big Ten channel.
No.
Now, I paid a lot of taxes over the years to public universities in the Big Ten, and all of a sudden the Big Ten NCAA approve them to go on pay TV. And I feel like that's sort of an intrusion into the taxpayers of the state of Illinois.
Well, that's interesting. Big Ten, yep. I think that's a product of Fox now, the Big Ten. And so what I'm wondering, like, you can see the Final Four for free online. That's not a problem.
I'm watching it on CBS.
And I thought it was TBS, but in any event, regardless, you know what you probably want to do if you can go online. That's where to watch this stuff, including the non-televised games. I think that's your best bet. Not trying to get it through cable and the way they package that or any of that. Go for streaming.
Well, my problem is I used to do all the brackets, and when they had it on regular television, I could follow all 64
right.
teams.
Right.
And then they decided about 2 or 3 years ago to sever it, and some of it in the Elite 16, except for WGN. I pick up all the games on WGN radio. In fact, in WGN is a clear channel station. I remember driving to boat races in Ohio and being able to take WGN all the way at 3 o'clock in the morning.
you, by the way, just run me into the news. But my advice to you is definitely look at streaming options. That's going to be the free way to go. All right.
Thank you for telling me that.
Absolutely. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for calling. And now I'll find out what's going on in the world at large on WGN Radio. I gotta hear that. So very good. Yeah, I could play versions all night. All right, so 888-876-5593. And all right, Nick in Baltimore, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, good morning, Raleigh. Thanks.
Yeah.
I told John I wanted to speak on this Key Bridge thing. Yeah. I know you covered it last week.
Yeah.
And I couldn't call, but I found out, I'm reading stuff online, that the Baltimore Police Department had a special marine unit, and that was defunded back in 2020. And, there were special boats, and these were rescue boats that were used in hurricane rescue and whatever other disasters.
Probably wouldn't have helped this one. I'll tell you what really would have, because, you know, remember, it was just a few minutes before he hit the bridge that he basically radioed, "I'm in trouble." Well, you know, again, if you go further north up the river, when they're coming from Port of Baltimore, they don't leave without tugs on their turnarounds and everything else. But the way the regulations are, the tugs can peel away before the Key Bridge And they shouldn't, considering how big some of these ships are and how, you know, I mean, the Key Bridge was in good shape, but it still was a bridge set to standards that weren't, you know, weren't able to handle what's on the traffic today. So you would think that there would be a tug through that area rather than leave them on their own.
Right, and I agree with that. That's another thing I was going to bring up. The other thing was, you were talking about, I think last week you mentioned the Tampa Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Where they redid it, and they, you know, when they rebuilt that thing, they put solid concrete barriers. Now, they had concrete barriers here, too, but they weren't like the ones in Tampa. There were proposals, I think, to upgrade this bridge, and of course they didn't do it because of the money.
They did.
And you see the result.
They did Betsy Ross and they did Commodore. But they didn't do Key. And the big difference in Tampa that I see is that there were two separate bridges, north and south. So when one was out, they could use the other one lane each direction to have traffic. But you're talking about the Key Bridge. That's down neither direction. Nothing's going to happen for a while. And as you well know, you got tunnels. So for anybody who's commercial traffic, this is like 35 miles out of your way.
Right.
Yeah, this is is a mess, and
it's a nightmare.
Yeah, and you know, I laugh. It's like, who cares about Dundalk? But I'm sorry, this bridge was important, and this port is very important. And you would think that if they weren't going to shore it up because they didn't want to spend the millions, then at least put the tugs in there. I know it will slow things down, and I know it will increase the expense, but nowhere near what this is going to do.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you mentioned that, you know, I was calling a talk show in Florida last week, and when I listened to it in the morning, and the one host knows, I mean, I know him very well, and he knows me, and he knows about Baltimore and its strategic importance.
Yeah.
The other half of the show, you know, who cares about, you know, why would they hit it, you know, they were talking about terrorism, you know, possibly terrorism.
Yeah.
But they were, you know, I don't know that it was. Or anything,
I don't. I think the likelihood of that is almost nil.
Yeah.
In a way, that would be, while it would be absolutely horrible, it would almost be more forgivable than why this happened. This did not have to happen if they had changed some of the regulations.
Well, that's the thing. That's the point, you know, that if they had changed the regulations and upgraded it, because, you know, that was the thing. But the whole point was, well, who cares about the one guy was saying, well, what's the importance of Baltimore? And I called in and I said, well, I'll tell you the importance of it. It's I-95, and you knock that out, and, you know, you've killed the major part of your supply chain.
Well, and if you look at East Coast ports, yes, it's not the largest, but it's certainly in the top 10. And there were certain industries that used this port often. Cruise ships, for instance. I mean, Carnival had a lot of things that docked there. And they had returning ships that had to go to Norfolk, and they put them on buses. Automotive parts, a lot of automotive parts go through that particular port.
There are cars?
Yes. Yeah, oh, yeah. There are a number of things that...
hazardous material?
Well, that, of course, and that's why I say that's really going to be a problem, because without that bridge, anything trying to get to Port of Baltimore with hazardous material is in for a long ride.
Yep, and it's basically, you know, that's it didn't have to happen, and it's horrible that, you know, six people died, and it really, that's the sad thing.
Well, of course it is, and I mean, but thank God it wasn't more. When you consider how little time they had, the fact that they didn't have other vehicles on there was just a miracle. And yes,
it happened in drive time.
Oh God. Well, of course, if that happened, they wouldn't have had any workers on the bridge, but they would have a lot of vehicles in the water. But, you know, to discount this is not understanding that virtually, sadly, we talk about this a lot. Everything we have on the shelves usually came on a ship originally. And so this will have effect. But, you know, even if they weren't going to spend the money immediately, you know, they couldn't budget for it or whatever, then at least say, all right, well, we know this bridge is, you know, endangered. If something really large hits it, let's at least get the tugs involved.
might, and you're absolutely right. And they just, there were a lot of missteps here.
Well, because nobody expects it. You know, let's face it. Just right. Like the reason the construction workers sadly perished is they saw the ship coming in, but you see them coming in all the time. Who's worried about right. this one? You know,
right.
it just wasn't in anybody's mind. And, of course, when we're saying 8 knots, that's not exactly what I call a speedy collision. That's about 9 miles an hour.
Right.
And, you know, not that that's, you know, it's bad enough, but it's not like something's coming at it at 20 miles an hour.
Right. But the weather was deteriorating.
Well, absolutely.
And we're in a transitional part of the year. I mean, weather-wise, and so...
Yeah. Well, I'd like to think that lessons will be learned, but I just don't know.
Yeah, it's just... But I... You know, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's just... It's a horrible thing. And to see that video, I saw... Oh. And I, you know, I'll tell you the truth, not to take your time, but I didn't know anything about it. I was up... But I, you know, I nodded off, and I, you know, because I get up early at like
right.
4 in the morning, and I had been up, and I got a call from a friend of mine down in Georgia. He said, hey, the Key Bridge collapsed. I said, what? You know, I put the TV on, everybody's wall-to-wall about it, and the radio was wall-to-wall about it, and it was unbelievable.
It was online within 15 minutes of it all over the place, because I probably was maybe 20 minutes old when I saw it, and I was just surfing by things, and I'm like, wait a minute, what? What did I just read? Let me get back to that. And, again, you're lulled into complacency. It usually won't happen. Well, that's not good enough when you have anything this strategic in terms of the volume of goods that port has.
Right.
You know, and of course, the port...
We don't think of these things.
Right, the port is going to remain open, as you know, as far as that goes, but getting to it's going to be a bitch.
Right. It's going to be, and the traffic is going to be.
It already is
horrendous.
And we're talking years. Like I say, that Sunshine Bridge, people forget about the fact that it was two separate bridges, so all they were doing was slowing it down. This, you've completely knocked out the route.
No. Wasn't there one in Miami, too, that collapsed? I think.
Not anything big.
Not it was anything. Tampa that was big.
Tampa, that sunshine? Yeah, absolutely. It was Tampa. And it was Tampa Bay. And that was rush hour. That was a mess all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but again, you're only cutting out one lane, you know, one direction of traffic. You can use the other bridge, one lane each, to continue to have traffic flow. Because that was a 7-year build. You know, this is, you're not going to have a bridge next year at this time.
No.
At least not one I'd be willing to ride on.
I didn't like that one.
Yeah, I didn't either, really.
When I was on that one a few times, I was always scared of bridges.
Well, like I say, the one that got me is Norfolk, the one that's a bridge and a tunnel. It's like, oh, no, this is the worst of all worlds. Yeah.
How about Jersey? Jersey's... Yeah. Horrendous, too.
Yeah, Jersey's got some charmers, but nothing like that Norfolk one. That's the one. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I've never been down there.
Oh, don't go. Just find another route.
Okay. All right, well, take care.
All
Thanks
right.
a lot.
So glad you called. Thank you.
All right.
All Bye-bye. Right. So, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. And I'm Raleigh James on WGN Radio. With so little time, I figured we'll forego the bumper and see if Ruth and Gurney is still awake, or do we lose her? Ruth, are you still there? All right.
Good evening, this is
yes,
James.
Yes, you're awake. Hi, Ruth. What's up?
I didn't want to call. I didn't want to do it.
But you did.
But you knew. Before, I didn't want to do it, and all the time you knew it. Well, I don't think I have enough time to get in on the topic or the things that would be so interesting. But most importantly, just recently, when I put in that mass for the blind people, because St. Raphael is a go-to for travel and healing in blind people, I thought it would be so unique, and I have had so many requests for unique things that people have never done before in petitioning a mass to be said. But today I noticed There was no pain in my toes, no pain in my knees, no pain in my wrists, no pain in my shoulders. And while I was waiting to get with you, I started to get pain in my neck. And that would be the electronic frequency. And I wonder where that phrase, pain in the neck, ever came from.
Yeah.
But the trip on the causeway in New Orleans, I was driving up Fifth Avenue and up from the wonderful Fair House, whatever that one that the Drake became, hotel, a wonderful doorman. When I was passing the Superdome of the Saints, an oil tanker was right alongside of me, and I had a tendency to drive not in my own lane, but over the center of the road. And his face froze because he thought I was going to get sideswiped.
Right.
And so I felt the car gently lifted up and moved and gently placed back down.
Yay.
And I turned over my shoulder and told my mother, whose name was Dolorosa, and my Aunt Ruth, I told you I'd never be in an accident.
Oh, man.
Gently moved up in the air and then gently placed back down.
Wow.
So the interesting thing is, whether it's Mother Nature or the powerhouses that in my father's mansion are many houses, St. Raphael the Archangel, the thing could have been avoided in more ways than one. And so therefore, it was something that could have been avoided in many ways. One other question. Since you give out such astute medical advice, you've got a degree hidden somewhere from some university.
No.
Not just all those radio stations. Why did you not get in contact with the Kenosha radio station, WLIP? Of all the places you've been throughout the United States, I'm just amazed that you never got over to that quaint, old-fashioned, charming town.
Oh, it is quaint and it is charming, but I follow the money, and you weren't going to find it there.
Few people will ever admit that.
Yeah, I was always available to the highest bidder.
Here's the advice I'm looking for. I get anxiety from getting into my wheelchair prior for someone lifting me up. And I have never had anxiety over anything before in my life.
Yeah.
And I cannot understand this. So I'm wondering, psychiatry-wise, psychiatric-wise, I haven't been to a grocery store for 4 months because I don't have a way to get in and out of the wheelchair. But most importantly, I had the anxiety. And so I think to myself, how fortunate it is that I can't walk or can't get into my wheelchair, because then I don't experience that anxiety whenever I would be getting in there. So what do you have to say about anxiety for something as simple as getting someone lift you in and out of a wheelchair?
Well, there's so many things that create anxiety, but the first thing I want to say is that every day there are more mobility aids. And so I wouldn't rule out the fact that you might not need somebody to lift you if you see what mobility aids are available at any given time. Very often they'll have expos where they'll display some of this stuff, and you may be able to do that. But what you're talking about is transferring, and you can't transfer without somebody lifting you. Now, can you transfer in and out of bed? Can you transfer to the bathroom?
No, of course not.
Well, so how are you getting there? Okay, this is terrible. You have ended the night, and there's more I want to say about this. So I promise, if you call back tomorrow night, we'll talk earlier. I promise.
Okay.
All right.
Week,
thanks.
Next week. Okay.
Next week. All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Appreciate
bye.
It. Bye. Yeah. What? How tough all the way around. Yeah. And you think you had it bad. We'll reconvene till 21 hours from now. Apologies to Mark and Aurora and Marianne in Chicago. I hope you'll call me back tomorrow night. We will do it again. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, thank you for calling. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.